Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore and you can contact me anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, just getting ready for the marriage of April Fools and Easter Sunday.
Now, I got some people that had pre-sent out, and I'm suspect to their motives, but I had a couple people send me notices that said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know, because April Fool's falls on Easter Sunday, we're not participating in it this year." Now, that's a setup, right, McKay? Because now yes, they're going to do something crazy tomorrow and try to shock me with that, right?
Well, it's even better because now you can work in the Easter Bunny.
Absolutely. April Fool's or there's no Easter, there's no hidden Easter eggs, all that good stuff.
It's going to be either really funny or my children will hate me forever.
Absolutely. It is kind of a strange year how those happened to fall on the same. I enjoy both holidays. So, yeah, seeing them combined, this will be really, really interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We have back with us after his amazing award trip extraordinaire and also some sickness. Mike Denslow's back and you look skinnier.
Yeah. I'm not happy about it.
You're not happy. It was not for the right reasons, huh?
Yeah, I don't recommend that diet.
Okay, gotcha. Well, good to have you back. I did tell all the listeners while you were gone that you the first time that you, it was for a great reason because you were being recognized. I know you won't say this about yourself, but you were being, because you're very humble, but you were being recognized as a very high producing top end Home Street branch and agent, correct?
Yep. There was three of us that got to go to Hawaii this year because of it. So it was pretty amazing deal.
Okay. Well, congratulations on putting Little Old Kennewick on the map, which isn't so little anymore, and really throwing some numbers out there for the company. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's so great to see the month-end reports of, you know, who closed what, and it's Seattle and L.A., San Diego, Phoenix, Portland, Vancouver, Kennewick, you know, and we're always mixed in there in the top few, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that, and definitely good to have you back. It's nice to have a partner in crime here on the radio. So before we jump into today's topic, one of the things we always do is we like to look at our crazy celebrity real estate. And this week's story coming out of, I didn't think these pictures were real. They looked fake or out of a movie. But we have the most expensive home for sale in Montana, and that's coming in at $27 million.
Don't forget the half.
Yeah, 27.5. Sorry, I rounded down. I was already anticipating the offer we were going to make, coming in a little light. What does that buy you? That is a 17-acre property. And it is a 25,000 square foot home built in 2000. 10 bedrooms. It has a guest home on the property, a four-stall horse barn, its own pond with and its own artesian creek, all included in this. And it sits on a world championship golf course area also. Now, I don't think I've ever seen a 17-acre lot by a golf course, so they must have bought multiple lots with this. Also included indoor pool and underground shooting range.
It is Montana.
It is Montana for sure. So very, very interesting to see some of these mega homes and very, very expensive real estate and what they're selling for. Now, back to, we always kind of temper that with our local real estate news. And I tell you what, even getting into right the beginning of and the midst of our spring market, our local story still continues to be low inventory. I mean, we're still sitting under 600. We've been fluctuating between 550 to 570 homes on the market, depending upon how you look at the data. And so we're really in that situation where we have low inventory. So one of the things that pops up with that, and we always kind of take what's happening in the local market and relate that to what's going on in the industry. And one of the things that I know ends up, you know, ends up affecting you, Mike, on the lending side quite a bit, and that is what happens to appraisals during a hot market like this. And it really adds kind of a new dimension to things when you're looking, especially in the new construction realm.
Yeah, the appraisers, well, first off, the time keeps increasing, and then how long it takes to get an appraisal, because as our market heats up, the amount of things that get under contract increases, and we only have so many appraisers, and they has to be in this same amount of people that's going to take care of you in the slowest time of the year that are going to take care of you in the busiest time of year. So you kind of see a little bit of swing there, but appraisals are tricky. What I typically say is they're comparing what you're buying versus similar like homes and properties, age, size, lot, and what they sold for. And so it's a pretty complex thing that they go through, the comparable sales piece, which, you know, people hear about all the time. And it goes through this whole process of adjusted market value, and then they see what you're trying to buy it for, and they see what the market's doing, and then they come up with a value on top of many other factors. But we've been pretty lucky here in the Tri-Cities that we've seen the slow rise in prices.
Absolutely. And that does help. One of the situations that we come across a lot that I wanted to bring to the attention of people out there is we are dealing with so much more new construction right now because we've had lower inventory. We've gone ahead and we've done a lot of these pre-sale homes out there with the builders. One of the things that happens in a new construction situation is people, a lot of times when they decide to build custom or build a new construction, a lot of times what they're doing is putting a lot of add-ons or extras that they normally wouldn't with a resale house. So for instance, you'll build, say, you might be downsizing. Maybe you've had that big family home, you know, maybe 4,000 square foot family, and you raise the kids and they're moving out. So now you decide, you know what, I'm going to go to a 2,000 square foot Rambler. But since this is kind of my retirement home and I'm going to be living in it differently, I think since we're building it from scratch, I'll go ahead and throw, I like to work on cars, so I'll throw a 3-car detached shop up in the back when they build the house. And you know what? I do like to kind of, you know, go for that afternoon, evening, summer swim. So I'll put a pool in. So you come to the end of the construction build and you really want to be careful in those situations based upon how much you're putting down and how much equity you have, because now you've got a 2,000 square foot house that when an appraiser comes to compare it to other sales, it's going to be really difficult to find a house that's smaller like that, that has, say, a 3-car shop with it and that has a pool with it. Somebody might have potentially spent an extra, in that situation, $150,000 in upgrades. But when you compare to other 2,000 square foot homes that have sold in the last year, even stretching it, and they generally only like to go back 6 months, you're not going to be able to support the sales price in a lending situation. Maybe for that $150,000 in upgrades, you might, on the appraisal adjustments, maybe you only get $80,000 of that. So your loan is going to be based upon a percentage of the appraised value.
Well, it's the purchase price or appraised value, which is ever less. So I was going to ask you a question. This pool costs $50,000 to put in a resale market. You know, pools add how much in value typically, Lance?
So generally, if we're looking at that, and we look at most appraisals and adjustments nationally, and it might be just a little bit slightly higher here, but we're seeing in a resale situation 30% of new on the value.
Wow.
And so that's roughly where those, so I mean, if you spend $100,000 on that pool, you might get a $30,000-$35,000, and if you're lucky, $50,000 adjustment. And that would be a huge adjustment that we normally don't see. So that's just one of those situations where you've got to know ahead of time. You've got to be having that conversation with your lender, Mike at Home Street. He's really good at that. And you got to be saying, okay, here's what we likely expect the home to appraise at. I know you've added this and this on. Do you have the cash from your other sale in the situation we described, a downsize? Do you have enough cash from your other sale to cover the differences? Because you don't want to get us stuck in a situation like that where you have underestimated the amount of cash necessary to close. You're building your dream house or your retirement house with these extras, and then it comes time to finalize the financing and you owe another $80,000 to the builder, or in a worst case scenario, you can't close on it and a builder has kept non-refundable earnest money.
Those are all questions that we would definitely address in the beginning, the earlier that we talk to people. And I know that your buyer's agents, your new construction people have a ton of experience with new construction and would be bringing that up. Okay, you're building this 2,000 square foot home and the price is going to go well past 400 because of all these extras when I see your appraisal maxing out at this. So you have to expect, if you want to do 20% down, you're going to do 20% down on the house, and then you're going to make up the difference on the other.
Absolutely. And so these are just good, smart conversations and questions that you want to have on the front end. The other thing that we're running into with appraisals in a low inventory market that creeps up on us sometimes is availability of homes affecting pricing. So for instance, if you take a very popular model, let's just, because there's a lot of them, for instance, say in West Pasco, there's what they call a 1092. You know, Ajo back in the year built hundreds of 1092s. Well, in the last 4 or 5 months, say a 1092 is there's been four sales that have all sold for a 189.9 in the last 6 months. Now, Mike, if you have a 1092 on the market and there's three others for sale at the same time, and they're all priced at 189.9. What would you expect yours, the fourth, to be priced at?
Let's go 189.9.
Okay. Now fast forward to the Tri-Cities market now, and things have maybe creeped up. Maybe there was one that sold for 192. Now we're in a low inventory market, and Mike, there's no other 1092s for sale. None active right now. And you decide to sell your 1092. What do you think? There's none other available. Where do you want to price that 1092?
Well, you want to price it more because supply and demand, right?
Exactly.
And then what happens is you put it 195 to 199. You get multiple offers. You know, then you select maybe the offer that was strongest at 205. And then we talk about the appraisal.
And then we talk about the appraisal. So here's what happens in this market, because now the appraiser goes out and the appraiser is asked to come up with a price to justify to the bank that they're making a good loan on this $205,000 purchase. And the appraiser pulls up the last four or five sales, and Mike and all of us knew they were there. And he sees, wow, well, the last four or five sales have all been at 192. what is this 205? And how can I possibly justify saying this house is worth 205 when I have no history to show that? So one of the things that happens in a market, and it's kind of that inching forward that we say, and so people ask us, how do prices start to go up? How do appraisers start to be able to justify prices? Well, maybe you had four or five offers, and maybe one of those offers was putting 25% down. Well, if they're putting 25% down, they likely qualify for, say, a 20% down loan. So if the appraisal comes in low at 192, where all of it is, or maybe he can get it to 195, you look and you say, okay, you know what? We can still pay 205. We're getting less of a loan amount, but I have the available cash to make up for it. If that deal closes, now you have a new comp at 200.
To justify future sales.
Future sales. And so things can kind of inch back and forth, and it's an ebb and flow that happens. But in a rapidly appreciating market with low supply, we are constantly watching out for these scenarios. It also, on the flip side, makes it very, very difficult for people with lower down payments or first-time home buyers to get access to some of these deals. You have to be very creative. Think outside the box. Trust me, I'm coaching daily with my buyer's agents to do some very creative things to get first-time home buyers into these houses. If you've been looking and haven't been able to find what you need, please feel free to go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. Let us know. We can talk to you about some of those strategies. After the break, we are going to talk a little bit more about what we run into on appraisals and talk a little bit more about what's going on in the Tri-Cities real estate market.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here with Mr. Mike Denslow at Home Street, and we've been talking about things that are popping up in a hot market with appraisals. And one of the things that people don't realize sometimes is they think an appraisal is an inspection. And it really is not. And so what happens is the inspection is something that a buyer orders, and the buyer orders that for their personal benefit to check on the condition of the house, structural, electrical, plumbing, etc. Now, where the confusion sometimes comes in is a buyer will also be requested, they have to pay for an appraisal on the property for the that works with the lender that they're getting the loan through. Now, however, there's sometimes some confusion about what that appraiser is doing. And for all intents and purposes, that appraiser is making sure that there is an actual property that the bank, their client, is lending on. And it is basically an arm's length transaction, and the transaction makes sense. Meaning, if we're going to give you a loan for $200,000, we want to make sure that that loan is being attached and secured by a house that is worth at least $200,000 to give the loan on. So it's kind of a double and triple check system that the bank uses. And generally, banks don't like to do 100% financing. There are programs that can make that possible, but they really want to make sure if they're giving, say, a $200,000 loan, that they're loaning that on a property that is worth, say, $225,000, so that they have some equity position there. One of the things that happens is it's the reason it's not a full-on inspection, but there are some items that appraisers are looking for. There's some legal requirements that they have to make sure the home complies with to also as a protection mechanism for the bank and the borrower. And some of the most common items that we find missing that get called out on appraisals, and so the appraiser needs to make sure when they come out to the house, number one on the list, they need to make sure there's the proper amount of smoke detectors in the property. Nowadays, when a seller sells a house, it needs to also have a carbon I lost my train of thought there.
Carbon monoxide
monitor. I've said it so many times, I couldn't get it out. So now it's a requirement that there is one on each level of the home. And then there's also more specific requirements, how close to bedrooms, etc. So the appraiser is looking for those items. There, another one that comes up is the homes need to have earthquake straps on water heaters, so that water heaters don't, the fear is that in that situation, a water heater would fall off its stand or tip over, and then there can be high pressure scalding hot water coming out of that tank. So a lot of homes that they go through and do this at are missing those items. And if those items are not there, then what happens is the appraiser has to come back to verify later that those items were fixed. And then that's an additional reinspect fee that the borrower is going to likely end up paying. So,
and it's referred to as a reinspection when it's more, you know, an appraiser is going back out. And again, they're not inspecting the home of the typical term of the pre-inspection that you were mentioning.
Yeah, and so what we try to prevent that as much as possible in the transactions when we're working with sellers, when we're identifying these things in the inspection reports. We're trying to get those items taken care of ahead of time so that it expedites the transaction. Mike was just saying we're coming into a very busy time of year. It's not like there, it takes a long time to become an appraiser with a lot of schooling and apprenticeship. It's not like in May, June, July, when the market's really busy, we just magically have 20 new appraisers working in the industry. It goes through those ebbs and flows to where, in general, the number of appraisers we had in January is very similar to the number that's working in May, June, and July. So as you can imagine, they become overworked. Their time to return those appraisals takes longer. So the last thing you want to do is finally get an appraiser out to the house and then have items missing where it delays. Maybe they're another week, week and a half out before they can even come back and reinspect. And so these are just some of the items that we're seeing in this market as we start to ramp up with the activity level and we start to get busier and busier in the spring market. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Mike at Home Street to talk a little bit about some of these items, what's on, what he sees on his side of the fence, and what we need to know about lending at Home Street right now.
Well, one more thing to add to the appraisal piece is that what we see is after purchase customization. So you're looking at buying a house and it looks good, and let's say it's a manufactured home from 95 and it's got all this land that you want and it's got the shop and everything looks good. Well, oh, they added that awning and they added a deck and they did all these things, and maybe they didn't work with L&I, you know, to get it done, and there's a septic and a well, and you know, there's all these different things that when you're going into buying a property that your agent, potentially from the Kenmore team, right? They're going to be helping you, I guess, navigate through all those different things so that they get addressed as early as possible. You've heard me on the show say time and time again, the earlier, if you're thinking about buying this fall, start talking this spring, start talking about numbers and what do you think you can sell your house for and how much then you would be able to put down. Do you want to pay off some debt with some of that money? So you're going to put a little bit less down on the house. And what does that payment look like? It is never too early to start talking about those questions. I just, time and time again, I was telling you off air, just I continue to have horror stories from other places that have screwed things up that we try to solve routinely. It seems to happen at least once a week where, oh, if somebody was told this and that wasn't right, and we try to save them from themselves. And if they would just have those conversations earlier, hopefully with somebody who knows what they're doing, or with a reputable place, maybe the place that you bank, you know, maybe they don't do that many loans. There's a lot of national brand banks here in town that don't do that many mortgages, but you think that, oh, well, I have my money there, so they must know what they're doing. They've got ads on television, you know, and talk to people, get referrals from real estate agent or your friends. You know, did you have a good experience with this place, that place? It's sensitive to me right now because in the last week it's happened several times, and it's upsetting for people to get misinformation. And, you know, then you talk about non-refundable earnest money. And
yeah, Mike and I were talking off the air a little bit. And in the last 2.5-3 weeks, twice I've had situations where fantastic clients, awesome people have came to us and they've said, hey, look, you know, I've loved what you've done for me. I see you've helped me look at houses and evaluate stuff, but I'm just going to go direct to a builder because they're giving me a big discount by not using you as an agent. And we talk through that, and I usually chuckle a little bit, and I say, you know, in this market, trust me, they're not giving discounts to move homes. That's not what we're talking about, and it's just, they're smart enough to know that they're going to put more money in their pocket at the end of the day. The problem is without representation, twice in just the last 2.5 weeks, I've had folks where I've said, look, at the end of the deal, when we walk through and you're getting what you think you're supposed to be getting, you're going to remember we had this conversation, and it's going to be helpful to have somebody navigate you through that process. And I tell you what, we had on both occasions, I had both clients. We walked out of houses a couple weeks ago, and just things weren't quite done, and they didn't know the schedule, and they should have been done, and they had no way of knowing that would happen unless you've been through the process before. We were able to say, look, we're going to get this stuff taken care of. We're going to work as a team with the builder and make sure you get the product you wanted. And in both cases, both clients were like, okay, I'm so sorry. I had no idea you were 100% correct. And it doesn't always go like that, but the fact of the matter is we want to give the peace of mind that when it does, that you have somebody in your corner. And same thing on the lending side, Mike. I've just seen it, 10, 15, 16 times in the last 3 months where it's come down to the end of the deal and there were delays, maybe the rate's a little bit higher than they expected, and things that shouldn't have happened. And those type of situations just don't happen, with your office. So I appreciate that.
Well, and that's what we pride ourselves on. This is not our job. This is our career. We live in this community. We take a lot of pride in the community. And, out of town lenders don't have any accountability. And you've said before, like, hey, if there's a question not being answered, I want to be able to drive over to the office and ask the question. And there's a lot to that.
Yeah. And I only have to do that like twice a year with you. And it's usually because I want to say hi. That's usually a minor issue. So, and the same thing, there's been times where Mike's come over and beat on me. I mean, as a lender to an agent, he'll come over to me and he'll say, hey, this client is getting charged $100 a day for these extensions on, say, a build, and I can't keep the rate lock. And I know it's not 100% your fault, but I don't want the client to pay it, and I think you should pay it, Lance. Mm-hmm. And do I want to hear those conversations sometimes? But Mike and I, he comes and beats on my head too, and we say, yeah, let's do what's right for the client. So it's fun that we get that opportunity to make those decisions together in person in our community for our clients when we need to. So that is absolutely, there is a lot of awesome stuff happening right now in Tri-Cities. I tell you what, we have some amazing builders. Spend some time driving around. There's new developments in Kennewick and Pasco and Richland. The sun's out. The construction industry is going crazy working. And I tell you what, there's some awesome, awesome, exciting opportunities with property right now in Tri-Cities. If you'd like to check some of that out, go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'd love the opportunity to earn your business. Mike, how can people get to you at Home Street?
509-572-3651.
Awesome. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.